Welcome to Rewrite the Rules. I'm Ritu Mehrish.
I'm Rajita Saxena.
On this podcast, we interview successful women leaders across Asia to discover how they're rewriting the rules of life, career, and relationships.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Rewrite the Rules. And we are joined today by Arpita Pal Agarwal. Arpita is the MD and CEO of Diya Vikas Capital, a social impact investor that provides financial and technical assistance to microfinance institutions in India. Welcome, Arpita. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
Likewise, Rajita. Excited too.
So let's begin. So Arpita, I'd love to hear more about your career journey, where you began, what led you to doing what you're doing now.
It's been a long and eventful journey. I finished my engineering in 1990. That was ages back. And I'm an electronics and comms engineer. I chose not to join the standard software companies, joined a public sector which was focusing on telecom software, landed up there. And within a couple of months, I was chosen to be the startup team to go to Europe and open an office there. So that was very eventful. This was Holland those days. And we were, just for people who can probably correlate, the GSM standards, the first standards which were used in mobile phone were being written there.
Oh, wow.
That's the first time I read what an SMS is. So it was very interesting. But somewhere around the line, I started feeling, because you were at the bottom of the hierarchy as you joined as an engineer.
Right.
I realized that I was not understanding what I was doing, where my bit was going. And nobody was indulgent enough to sit down and explain that to me. So you had to kind of just understand yourself. And I thought that this is not something I want to do. And I think I realized at that point that I'm a person who needs to understand what is going on, where my piece is fitting, no matter how small or insignificant it might be. And I also reasoned with myself that if I continue in engineering software, I might not get that view for maybe another decade or so because I wouldn't be senior enough to ask or understand.
So
decided to come back to India and pursue my MBA.
Okay.
Got into IIM Ahmedabad. And most of my, college mates were 5 years younger than me. There was the typical rule, you know, you did your graduation and did your MBA. I was the most experienced voice, one of the most experienced voice in the class in terms of work ex, you know, and also having worked internationally. And at that point, I decided that let me build on my career. I chose to join ICICI, which was an EFI and was working working on infrastructure sectors, telecom being one of them.
Okay.
So I joined the telecom advisory team of ICICI.
Okay.
And yes, from then it was consulting. So it was Arthur Anderson and then PwC, etc. So that for another 20 years, I did that. In 2018, I was a senior partner with PwC and leading the telecom sector and doing multiple other roles. And I realized I was going to be turning 50. So I realized that I wanted to start doing something in a way, give back to society. And for the first time in my life, I quit without a plan, without another appointment letter in my hand, which is not something I do. But I decided because I was to completely change tracks, I did that. And that led me to the impact in investing sector, which I am in now.
Thank you. Such an exciting journey and across so many industries, if I can say, right? Like consulting, telecom. And can I call what you're doing now philanthropy or in a more social impact?
Not philanthropy at all, Ranita. Impact investing is very interesting because it sits between philanthropy and pure commercial return type of investors. The thing is that we invest in financially sustainable organizations, but we are not looking at making supernormal profits. But what is a must is that they should be creating impact in a responsible way and working with typically the bottom of the pyramid. So it's, and that's, you know, it's give or take countries, even 2/3 of the population, world's population. And most of the impact investors will work in addressing various multidimensional aspects of poverty. So access to credit for just income generating work, or it could be now for affordable housing, water and sanitation, and all kinds, clean energy. With all the climate issues that are happening, they need resources even for, you know, adapting to the changes that's happening.
Interesting work, very different from what you hear about typical traditional industries as well, right? Yeah. But tell me more about what was it like to leave without a plan, Arpita?
Since it was totally my choice, and thankfully I have a family who totally supports me in the sense, do your thing, because you know best kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So that helps. Right. It's a little confusing in the beginning because, you know, with my the kind of work I was doing, you have a full calendar, half hour slots, and suddenly you have full days. You are pinging to meet people. One is not used to it. Your card earlier, your visiting card was enough. You send it to anybody and they would want to meet you. It was difficult in the beginning, but I also was very sure that I'll find my way. Because I had time on my side. I hadn't put a time target. I said, let me try. And the other thing is that I didn't set out to be the MD of the Avikas Capital. I didn't say that. I said, I will find a way to give back meaningfully with the resource, with the things that I understand. So, for example, I also volunteered in an NGO for some time and realized that their pace didn't work for me. Because somehow I just, I got that overwhelming feeling that when people work in NGOs, they don't get paid. They think that we're not getting paid. So we do it at our pace. I'm not used to that. I've always worked with targets and deadlines and stuff like that. But I was more in elimination mode that this is what I don't want to do. And that's how I landed in an impact, in a consulting company as a CEO. Where they just used to work with the impact sector. So that gave me a great opportunity to, while lead and provide my inputs and my share my experience as a full-blown consultant all my life, but learn the aspects of what impact consulting actually, impact sector means. Besides my telecom sector role, I used to also work as a forensic and a risk management partner. That gave me access in the work that I did. I used to present to boards because I was running risk management, forensic investigations on senior management, mostly CEOs, etc. And I realized if we had more engaged boards, boards members asking questions that they need to ask and not being a, you know, friendly boys club, then the organization would probably not go down the path that where we got called. Right? Because some questions would have been asked earlier and the situations wouldn't. So one of the other things that I had planned besides giving back was that I will join meaningful boards, boards which will allow me to do things that function as an independent director. And that I couldn't have done in a big four because as a partner, you're not allowed to join because of conflict of interest.
I think, you know, again, just speaking to the diversity that you have, and one of the threads I'm picking up in your career is, you know, how you make decisions based on the, you know, you're questioning the impact that you may have, right? So I'm seeing impact as a very strong theme in your life. But, you know, since we're talking about women in leadership and you use the word boys club just now, so I want to understand what was it like for you to navigate your career in these firms? Because some of them could have been seen as very male-oriented industries.
Absolutely.
And roles.
A very interesting and pertinent question, Rajita. And I feel very strongly about this. Forget organizations, even in engineering college and in electronics, I've always been 4% or 5% of the population. Then at the partnership level also, it was less than 10% for women partners, right? So just as a funny anecdote, we said, why don't we always get these black t-shirts of one size, you know? Some of us either are floating in it or it's not. Because we never thought that there would be women partners coming in, right? They would just design for the boys. Yeah, it's always assumed that it'll be men. And I would never put man hours on my contract. I would say person hours. Girls, if they're given the right opportunity, I have always had such amazing women on my team. Because somehow, no matter what background they are, I just feel that girls just feel the, more of the reason to work hard. because they feel their right to play is not as much as the boys or the men, right? So they bring more of themselves to work, right? I would say that I've always been very pleasantly surprised by most of the women on the team because they bring a lot more to themselves. They take less coffee breaks and smoke breaks. So work gets done more easily. They're more focused. I go out of my way to encourage if it's a deserving woman in my team or if somebody cooked me just to get advice or something.
I have some, you know, two questions that I really want to ask you just based on this incident that you mentioned, right? One is you said, you know, women take less coffee breaks and traditionally coffee or smoke breaks are seen as networking events, right? How would you say you network, like, you know, or you made connections to grow your career or support your career?
What works for me is identifying like-minded people, irrespective of gender, mm-hmm. and then keeping in touch and being, I'm quite sincere about the fact that if I say I'm ready to meet you or let's catch a coffee, I'll actually make time and do that. Or if somebody has asked for a help which has nothing to do with my work, it's not going to help me in any way. But if I can, I help. I think that has helped me in very good stead because I would have helped people in various points. And, you know, the good word goes around, I don't know. But I think it's about how you come across and what you commit, you deliver, whether it's a personal interaction or business, then people respect you. That's my way of networking. But I don't go around specially hanging out. And I don't believe that you have to go for drinks and mess up your personal life or, you know, because I was very cognizant. I'm a mother too. And my daughter was growing up. I did not want to spend any time besides my office and my traveling. But networking, that works for me. And that has worked for me.
Yeah. Okay. The second question that I had, you said, you know, you are always there to mentor and support, especially support women who are trying to work really hard to grow their career. Where did you find your mentors or where did you find your support?
I don't have one particular mentor, but at various points of my career, there has been some senior or a colleague whom I am able to confide in and talk to.
Okay.
And the other thing is that I think family is important.
Yeah.
I had a dad who was very enlightened in the sense that he thought I could do anything I set my mind to. If you have somebody like that goading you on, you know, you can achieve anything. He was the biggest cheerleader.
You've mentioned family a couple of times, right? Like at the start, you said that they're, you know, they stood by you when you left without a plan. You just mentioned your family all over again. You've also mentioned how busy your career has been. And I'm very curious to see, how did you find the balance in your career, right? Like, or in your life?
You pick your battles. First of all, you manage your diary very well. You don't mess up your... So your calendar is very important if you're doing multiple things, right? That's very important. But you also pick your battles. So I've decided that I am... going to be on boards which matter to me or which are relevant where I can add some value. And I will help and give back in the way I can and be mentor to whoever reaches out to me. So those are the things which are priority for me. So I'll find time for that besides family. But the other thing is, I think to your question, especially when it was the full-on consulting career, which, you know, requires a lot of traveling and all of that at that level.
Right.
And that I did a lot, the cost of physical cost to myself. I used to take a Sunday night flight to go to, so for a meeting in the U.S., say land at 8 a.m. in the morning or some whatever time.
Right.
Take a quick shower in the hotel and 9:30, 10, I would be presenting or being part of whatever discussion, right? And then if it was for 2 days, Tuesday night I was back. So, and this was tough because there were red-eye flights and then you were presenting, right? There are people, hundreds of people listening to you. So it was a lot of physical stress on me, but I thought that at least I caused minimal disruption to others. And especially, I think what it did for me is my daughter saw me working like this.
Yes.
And I think she has a stronger work ethic today than I have. And the other thing is that she always knew that if her mom was away, she was working. So I have been to the most exotic locations. I have run projects in Africa. I have not been to any of the game parks. I would go to Nairobi, do my meetings, and I'm back.
Right.
So my daughter, when she was younger, you know, when you're more impressionable, you think parents are doing their own thing. So let me also enjoy and stuff.
Yeah.
But she always knew that if I was away, I was either on a plane or presenting or something like that. I used to be guilty. I used to keep asking her. She said, no, mom, go and do your thing. So that helped.
Okay. Very, very nice. Very nice. When you look back on your career, and because today we're talking about rewriting the rules, we're not talking about breaking rules, right? What rules do you think you have rewritten to forge a successful career for yourself?
Never settle. My barometer has always been that the time I start dragging myself to work, when I don't want to get up in the morning to go to work, that means it's time to change something. Either internally, basically what you're doing is not interesting enough. The days I'm not jumping out of bed or not getting out of bed naturally, that's my thing. So, but for that, you also need to not be in your comfort zone, because I have shifted careers so many times.
Yeah.
And I've studied for that, right? So even for preparing for the board roles, I went to Boston to HBS, Harvard Business School,
yes,
and did that course so that, even though with experience, I knew a lot, but just to put a framework on it. So I keep doing that. I keep signing up. I keep learning. So what most important is to be out of your comfort zone. So it's one thing to say don't settle, but if you are not willing to then also be out of your comfort zone, then it doesn't work.
Interesting. And, I would love to know what advice you would give to women who are, say, at an inflection point, either in their career, at work or in life even, right?
First of all, find the right partner. Your partner should appreciate your need to carve out an identity for yourself. I'm not talking mm-hmm. about need to work, but carve out an identity which is beyond somebody's wife or beyond somebody's daughter or somebody's daughter-in-law, right?
Right.
Unless they appreciate that, you're going to have a very negative atmosphere at home. So it's just husband and daughter. They've always understood for my need to be doing something meaningful all the time. So which is why, like they say, please don't sit at home because you're going to sit and chew our bane. So please go out and do your thing. So I think it helps that they understand that. So that would be first advice.
Right.
Find the partner who kind of appreciates your calling and at least is there and understands that.
Any advice from you for women who are at inflection points in their lives to then forge a good career, okay, right? Like a strong career?
I have said this to so many of my, team members, women team members who have been flustered, hang in there. There was a time in my career where I just thought, I can't do this. I just sit at home. So hang in there, this too shall pass is the mantra that I would give to the women. If they are wanting to work, and there's no right or wrong, they might be wanting to take a break. I worked from home for about 4 or 5 years when my daughter was little, because I chose to do that. There was no work from home option then when I chose this. Way back in 2000, they made a special policy for me. So hats off to them.
That was
But if that's what you want to do, then just have faith. You know, sometimes that I think as women, we are trying to multi-hat so much that we just feel inundated and we say, okay, forget it. Let's quit and just do one thing which pleases everybody. But I would say that you need to figure out some way by which you keep being engaged, maybe, and then you can scale it up. Because I've also seen very intelligent and very smart women who at that point just gave it up. And then it's very difficult to get back. Everybody around you gets used to having a full-blown individual taking care of their needs. And you're never able to go back. And then you say, okay, I'll go back in 2 years. I'll go back in 3 and then 5. And it becomes 10. And then you're later regretting that, you held a lot of promise. You'd gone to the best institutes and you'd never worked. or never did anything else. So I think it's about finding a way to keep being engaged and not getting overwhelmed. Try and not get overwhelmed and keep telling yourself that this will pass. This is just a phase in life. It's not your whole life.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, like you've been lucky in having an organization that supported you at the time that you wanted to be with your daughter when she was much younger. I wonder, you know, what is the role organizations can play?
I think organizations play a very important part, especially if you're talking about women who are working in those organizations. Mm-hmm. So it depends, actually. So organizations, nothing but the leadership there. From when I was dealing with this in year 2000, and now it's changed so much. I think even the men are very cognizant of, you know, these challenges. Work from home has become a done thing. So you can do that. I would still say that if possible, identify a like-minded person. Again, I'm saying like-minded person, senior, men, woman, doesn't matter, who understands this and is able to then help you find your way through the challenge that you are in. It always helps because then you can talk more openly, tell them this is what is happening, this is what I can do. So it's just easier.
Yeah, I think they become your allies as well in some shape or form. Right? Instead of branding them as a coach or a mentor, I think it's the allyship that you're looking for, whether it is at work or even in your family.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Like whether you spoke of your dad and you said, you know, he was an ally. Yeah, absolutely. And this is more of a personal question, but I think it's difficult for women to even voice to say what is it that they really want. Mm-hmm. But then for someone else to support them. I see that you do reflect and you do understand your own self. And I just want to call that out as one thing. But the other thing is, how do you manage your well-being? You told me you were on flights. Like, you know, I've done that as well in my role. And it's not easy.
Yeah. And the red eyes are not easy at all.
Absolutely, not at all.
One thing that I've done more regularly for very consistently for some, at least 1.5 decades, is that I go for my morning walks. And I do not carry any equipment with me.
No device.
No device. So I have that 1 hour of uninterrupted time with my thoughts. Right. Sometimes I'm reflecting. Sometimes I'm drafting mails, which I then come and write in 5 minutes. tough ones, you know, I mean. So I would do that. So that 1 hour is very precious to me. More lately, I think this has been a more last 5 year phenomenon. That I now consciously stay away from negativity and negative people. Both in office, work, personal situations. I just do not go there. I do not entertain conversations. I will just walk away from them. Because I do not feel that anybody has the right to bring me down with their negativity. And this gets a little more tricky in personal situations. But I've told myself that I've done half of my life already, assuming I'm going to be 100. I hope not. But when I crossed 50, I said I've done things to please people no more. So I walk away, and I think that's really made me. It's given me time to be more positive, do things which I like to do. Remain happy because I don't get pulled down by negativity, negative situations, negative conversations, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have limited time and energy. You want to spend it in a more meaningful way. You know, we're towards the end of our conversation, Arpita, and this is, I think I can still go on talking to you for another hour or so. But a couple of things that I'm picking up as we are wrapping up today. One is, I really like the way you spoke about prioritizing your time. You said pick your battles. You know, you choose to do what you really want to do. And I really like that advice that you gave. The second one was around networking, where you said, you know, find the like-minded people that you want to be with or you want to connect with. And you said something about committing. So if you commit to doing something, to helping someone or getting back to someone with advice, do that. Don't just shy away or forget about it. But it's about keeping to your word as well. Mm-hmm. And the third and the most important one was about never settling. I think, you know, and maybe this is because it resonates with me as well, that you keep learning all the time. You keep being out of your comfort zone so that it keeps you in a mode where you're always hungry to for more yeah. information, to learn more, to keep your axe sharpened, like they say, right? So fantastic advice. Thank you very, very much. And thank you so much for doing this for us. What a pleasure.
Thank you, Rajita. Very nice talking to you. And I hope that this conversation helps somebody, some people who are, in the midst of thinking how they're going to deal with things. Because like I said, hang in there and it all will sort out.
I'm sure it will. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for staying with us till the end. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please take a moment to subscribe to the show, rate us 5 stars and leave a review. It helps others find the show and that means a lot to us. Thank you for joining us today. This was Ritu with Rewrite the Rules podcast. See you next time.